Here all this time I was thinking I added to the choir. But I see right now I haven't added too much to that. Well, it's a joy to be back preaching again today for Pastor Bill. I got to share a couple of things as I get underway about this, because I didn't realize that he's sent out to the worship committee every month, I presume, his sermons for the month. And so I got a copy of it, you know, that he said he wanted to preach on temptations throughout Lent. And then every week he'd have a sermon topic in the scripture. And then I saw March the 22nd, overcoming the temptation of sloth and apathy. Well, I first thought about a sloth. You know what a sloth looks like? Big old claws, and they hang upside down in trees. And that wasn't the worst of it. I read his footnotes here. He said, I've decided to keep the theme during the Sundays of Lent, and including Passion Sunday, Palm Sunday. I will not be in worship on March the 22nd, so Pastor Jim may not follow this theme. Now, the truth is, I did think about not preaching on the sloth and apathy. But the more I read it, the more I got under conviction that I ought to do it. And so, but it is the parable of the talents. And so that makes it a little more presentable. Then, when I looked at his passages, most of them he read were just three or four little short passages. It gives me nearly a whole chapter to read. And I know you're going to have to stand for all of that, but I am going to ask you just to remain seated, because it's out of Matthew 25, beginning with verse 14, down through verse 30, out of the Holy Bible, the King James. And I do like the King James. Now, I have other translations and paraphrase, and occasion I'll use them. Duke, who does our video for us, said that whenever I do change and use another one, at least let him know. But I kind of grew up on this, and I'm of the old school, and so enjoy it with me if you've not heard it lately. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, another 1, 1, to every man according to his several ability, his individual ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that hath received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. Likewise, he that had received 2 also gained the other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and reckoned with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I've gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I've gained 2 other talents beside them. And his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee to be a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strewed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there hast that is thine. The Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strewn. Thou oughtest not therefore to have put my money at least to the exchangers, the bankers, and then at my coming I should have received my own usury or interest. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto him every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Thus ending the long passage out of Matthew 25. Now I got to get organized. I'm about to preach on something really that applies more to me than to you. Apathy and laziness. So this sermon is for me, and y'all just get to listen in on it, because the Lord's been working on for me the last 2 or 3 weeks. When we have a project today and Kale suggests something, I'll say, well, sure, I'm going to just put it on the list. And my list gets longer and longer, because it's a way of saying I'm procrastinating. So this message, as I said, is from me. The parable that Jesus used here is set in the context of 2 other parables. The first one is about the 10 virgins who are waiting for the return of the wedding of the bridegroom. And so 5 of the virgins, you know, take oil for their lamps, a little extra in case he comes home late at night. The other 5 don't take any extra oil. And of course, you know from the scripture, he did come late in the evening, and so 5 were not prepared. Now, the last parable in this chapter is about Jesus at the judgment separating the sheep and the goats. But right in the midst of this, the bulk of it is about the 5 and 2 and 1 talent men that the owner distributed to these servants. And this is the way Jesus started out the parable. For the kingdom of heaven is, that's the way he said, that the kingdom of heaven is like an owner. So in other words, it's present tense. It's not something, this is not a future judgment or experience that's in front of us. It's like the man traveling away to a far country, like Jesus, called his servants, gave to them these gifts of money. And on the surface, we might feel a little sorry for the 1 talent man. We know about the 5 and 2 talent guys. But this guy, in the Greek, it's talenton, which equals to 20 years of labor, the pay a person would get for that amount of time. Wow. And someone has figured out weighed about 57 pounds, and in today's money would be worth somewhere between $600,000 and $1 million. So the 1 talent man wasn't just given a little change. He was given a vast amount of money, 57 pounds of money to work with. So I began wondering, you know, why did he go wrong? I mean, he had a lot to work with. In today's economy, if someone were to invest in you $600,000 or $700,000 and I'm going to be gone for a while, I want you to use this for my business. I mean, we'd be looking for opportunities to invest that money, even put it in the, you know, he didn't even put it in the bank and get a little usury in the King James. Don't you like that? I mean, anybody can talk about interest, but you know, usury, that has kind of a ring about it, you know, and I like that. So the money wasn't just the money. As Ken mentioned in his prayer this morning, really, God distributed the talents, which includes abilities and skills and talents, those innate things that all of us have. Every servant got something. Now, I thought about this congregation. You know, we have the three sections, basically. This is just outgrowth up here, but, you know, this might be the 5 talent, the 2 talent, or the 1 talent, or vice versa, 5 and 2 and 1. But if it was, that's how many servants he had, he divided it in thirds, you know. Each third got a third of his possessions. So this 1/3 of the congregation, you know, just didn't do anything, buried it. And as I thought about it, the only thing I could come up with was that it was his own mindset that he imposed on himself. The other two guys didn't say, "Master, Lord, you're a hard man. You reap where you don't sow." No, listen to what he said. "Lord, I know you're a hard man." Where'd that come from? Nobody else said it. "You reap where you don't sow, you gather where you've not sown, and I was afraid." Oh, me. We're beginning to see a little insight into the reason he acted like he did. Proverbs, Solomon, the wisest man, you know, God gave him that talent. The wisest man ever was Solomon. And he wrote, "As a man thinketh in his heart," you know, that's how he becomes. And that's what happened to this guy. He's beginning, "You know, my boss, he's a hard man. I better not lose any of this." So he imposed it on himself. He didn't waste it. He didn't lose any of it. But he wasted the opportunity that he had to develop something for his owner. And in our case, his inaction, he was judged slothful. That's what Jesus says. And lazy. And what he had was taken away. That self-inflicted reasoning. So I wanted to think about us. Our three groups. Our 5, 2, and 1 talent congregation. What keeps us from using our talents and our abilities and our skills that God has given each of us for his kingdom work? The kingdom of heaven is, you know, what we're doing right now. It may be our own false concept of God's nature, seeing him not as a loving father as in the parable of the prodigal son, but as a stern, demanding, harsh, and hard person. God isn't that way. But that might be our mindset, or it's kind of logged back in our mind. So we're a little fearful to launch out and even do most anything. Maybe it was some past experience or cruel word that was spoken over you that you've not been able to let loose. I have a family member that's that way, has not been in church in years. Because as a teenager in the church, An unwise pastor said some very harsh things to him, and he's not set foot back in the church, even with family that have pastors. I believe if I'd invited him to come today, he may not have even come. See, sometimes we can say some cruel words. Not seeing the lasting impact. I mean, a lifetime can be impacted by an unkind, cruel word. Maybe they said something like, "You're just stupid," you know. Or I've heard this a lot, been trying to help recruit choir members through the years. They'd say, "You know, Brother Jim, I just can't carry a tune in a bucket." Now, y'all don't have to raise your hand here if you've said that. But what I want to suggest to you, maybe you carry a tune in a little cup. That's what I do. That's why I knew I wasn't helping the choir very much when I heard them this morning. Or they may have said something even more hurting, like, "You ain't got enough sense to do that. Gosh, shame on us." Sometimes we get angry and we say, and it's hard to go and bring them back. Now, I don't know if this is any truth, but somebody has written that even the words that we have spoken are still in space, traveling. And I mean, I know light beams just go forever, but it's kind of frightening to think that what we may have said as an angry person is still traveling there. Gosh. Remember, the owner, God, gave to each one of them according to his ability. So if we're the one talent man, we're not shortchanged. We just haven't used it yet. And we've self-inflicted. I think I shared this in one of my opening services, that I had really felt the call to preach early at my conversion at 15 at a youth camp. That week I gave my heart to Christ, and on a Friday there was a call to full-time service, and I really felt I wanted to give my life in service. And I really felt God laid a heart on my heart to be a pastor. Well, as I got on through high school, our family owned 3 grocery stores in Pensacola at the time, and I was going to go to college and get a business degree to be the bean counter, be the Linda Burr to help the stores. But I'd put a pencil on what preachers made back then, and I said, "I don't want to be a preacher. They don't make anything." And so I went on to school 1 year, seeking business degrees. God kept working with me, and I was at Troy State University, and 3 roommates, 4 guys living in one room. I mean, that was bunk beds. That was a pitiful setup. My feet hung off the end of the bed anyway. But one weekend, like many weekends, Troy was a suitcase college, and everybody left. And there'd be those of us who didn't have a car or way to get back home had to stay at the college. And I had to stay. Well, that was God's opportunity to take a silent weekend to work on me. And eventually, as I was in the scripture, he came to a passage and he said, "Jim, are you going to just tear it out? You know, just like you tear it out, or are you going to obey me?" And that was pivotal in my life. I went back to my father in Pensacola and said that I felt God wanted me to go into the pastorate and that I wanted to transfer to a Christian school. So that, you see, I wanted to hide my talent too. I didn't even want to use it. I'd have to work with people like you. I said, "Well, That slipped out. That's not in the notes. So it's not what other people think you ought to do with your talent or talents, but what does God think you ought to do with your talent? See, that's the issue, isn't it? Now, for me as a college student, it took me being alone in an empty room and just God and me. And finally, you know, he got through to my heart. You see, God, his commendation to those men, 5 and 2 talent men, was just something simple. It wasn't like you're the best one on the block, or you're the super one that I've been looking for. No, what does he say? Well done, good and faithful servant. Now, wouldn't you want a little more commendation if you doubled the income he gave you? You know, like me, you know, Jim, you've done a pretty good job. No. Well done, good and faithful. Now, you've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to come back to that in a minute. I'll make you ruler over many things. Now, this is a word of encouragement. Whatever our level of abilities and skills and talents, if we'll just begin to employ them, for the kingdom of heaven is, if we'll do them now, God will, I think, enlarge the opportunities. When Paul was writing to Timothy, you know, he was a young man in the ministry. He wrote to him, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. See, that's what captured that one talent man's heart, fear. I know you're a harsh man. You're a hard owner. So I went and buried it. No. Fear is what caused him to bury that, caused him to make the wrong decision. Now, I saw this somewhere. You know, when you're reading and working on a speech or a talk or a message, you read a lot, and then sometimes you can't go back and document where you saw it. But this was a good little phrase. Fear kills dreams. Now, if you just think about this man, had 57 talents, $600,000. Hadn't done a thing with it. Doubts kill confidence. Kills it, see. Don't just delay things. But if you got fear in your heart, you won't even try it. By the way, I need to tell you about my first sermon in Pensacola when I finally got up the courage to preach. Our pastor, he was so excited. Ed Hardy's gone on to glory now, but he asked me to preach. And so I worked on this sermon. I mean, I timed it down to 20 minutes. Y'all would have been proud. You wouldn't have had to endure that long sermon on patience last Sunday. He went 10 minutes over. I went through that sermon in 11 minutes. And I turned around to him and I said, that's it. And I mean, they loved it. I think they wanted me to come preach every Sunday. Laziness kills ambition. See, this spirit that just kind of comes into our heart. Maybe others don't see it, or they do see it. But what impacts us is what's happening in us. Jim, at Troy, in the room. Now, reverse those three things. Dreams kill fear. How about that? Confidence kills doubts, and ambition kills laziness. Now, see, I wish I could remember where I got that, and then I could footnote it. So it really wasn't original with me. I like to take credit for them little simple things, you know, that people can remember. Fear kills, you know, activity, dreams. Now, I want to give you a couple illustrations. I noticed here at Five Rivers, you think when I'm sitting up in the choir, I'm dozing? I'm not, because I sit up too high. And y'all can see me if I doze off. But you know, when Pat's sleeping, you can't see him. I noticed, though, that about where Michelle was standing, a call had gone out for the church, if we would, to give Pampers, bring in Pampers when the government shut down, to bring them for the first responder families. Now, I'm telling you the truth, that's the first time in all my years I've had raised for Pampers, but, you know, it was legitimate. And there were just boxes, some cases. I looked them up. They range from $14, if you got a big box, up to $42. And, you know, so you were very generous over a number of weeks, and I commend you for that. Now, some of us may have looked over there, went by Walmart, found out how much they cost, said, whew, I ain't going to spend no $40 on them Pampers. And we didn't do anything. Now, it could have been the Spirit was prodding you or me to respond. See, that's the way it works. That's the time, that is the kingdom of heaven is. That's what's right now. Now, a few weeks later, a call went out to the church. A prodigy here had received a large donation of eggs. Y'all remember that? And so they asked people to bring in egg cartons. Well, here are mine, finally, a month late. I don't even think they have any eggs anymore. See, that procrastinator. That's why I said this sermon is for me, you know. Now, then I noticed a week or two ago, I don't remember exactly when it was, but I think I saw Linda Burr working among the congregation, handing out little thank you notes for those who had given to the Costa Rica mission that's coming up this summer. Now, maybe some of us, one or two or five talent, have been urged to, well, why don't we make a little donation? And we don't do it. Well, you know, they'll get enough money. It's a big church. And the Lord was laying it on our hearts to respond. Small actions, but faithfulness in the little things leads to God's responses for greater opportunities and responsibility. That's what he said to those five and two talent men. You've been faithful over a few things, which was five. Now, if you multiply five times, you know, 20 years' work, that was, you know, in the millions in our day. But it didn't give them a high commendation. The same way for every one of them. Well done, good and faithful sir. That's all he wants out of us, is just some faithfulness. I mean, some of us might be called to go on the mission field or be a pastor, and you might put a pencil on it, or a nurse or some other profession, but there are a lot of little things. For instance, in one of our early churches, there was a retired man who went to every local grocery store in our area, and he would collect the leftover vegetables and fruits and bring them back to his house, and he'd sort through them. I remember seeing him pull cabbage leaves off, you know, the outside leaves get crimpled, and you might have a little old head of cabbage about it, like a rutabaga. I asked this lady at the store the other day, she ate rutabagas. And she said, I don't even know what that is. I knew she hadn't eaten any rutabagas. But Frank would pull off those cabbage leaves, and he'd go through the old brown bananas, and he'd feel which ones were still firm, maybe good. He'd look at the tomatoes and potatoes, and he'd get up a sack of these items, and he delivered them to a number of widows and elderly in our community every week. I know about it because I was visiting him out there one day, and he had all these little crumbled cabbage leaves and stuff everywhere. I said, "Frank, what are you doing?" And he didn't want to even tell me. He's gone on to the Lord now. Little things. See, that most of us wouldn't do that. I mean, it just wouldn't touch our heart to do that. But he did. And Kay and I, young pastor, you know, we were recipients occasionally of one of those bags of discarded fruit. And I was very grateful. Back a few months ago, when I was limited by some surgery, I looked out and a man was mowing our grass. And he's not even a member of this church. Shame on y'all for not coming. And then another man pulled out my garbage can. When are we going to learn that God is looking for little things? You know. Don't tell me you can't carry a tune in a bucket. Nearly every person sings what you see on the screens. Even if you don't know the tune, you sing a little. Now, Cheryl, you can thank me for increasing the choir. A key to faithfulness in kingdom in God's work is because he sees in secret and rewards you openly. That's when Jesus was talking about, don't let your left hand know what your right hand, when you do your alms, you don't have to go around and say, you know, I gave two bags of Pampers. Suck it up, put that chest out. I gave four egg crates. How many did you bring? No. God sees us doing things in secret. And he rewards you openly. Increases the opportunities and the blessings. That's the way God works. I read another statement of a 100-year-old man, because I won't shoot for 100. There are a number of y'all that are getting on up there, and I want to be just like you. And this old guy wrote, people don't remember how much money you had, but how you treated them. Wow. That goes back to speaking those words. They don't remember how much money you had. Probably don't care. They'll remember that cutting word, a sarcastic word, a painful word that's lodged way down here. Jesus said it the same way. He just put it in the golden rule. Therefore, all things whatsoever, don't you love the King James, whatsoever, ye would that men do to you, do even so to them. Notice what he said, all things. All things, whatsoever you would that men do to you, well, just do it to them. I know you're going to ask, Jim, have you ever mowed anybody's grass? Yes. Have you taken in their garbage cans? Yes. You know, when we have these strong winds and the garbage trucks have already come through, a lot of times they get blown out in the street. And I've seen cars. Y'all know what I'm talking about. They drive around it instead of stopping and picking it and pulling it up on the sidewalk. It's little things that keep us so often from fulfilling what God wants us to start doing. And if we can be faithful in a few things, he'll make us ruler over many things. Now, true, things don't just happen. You have to put a little action to them. Now, do they always produce results? No. Everything doesn't work according to plan. But we have to be willing to adapt and change. Sometimes we're waiting just for the right time. We'll say, well, I'm going to just wait for the right time, then I'll do it. But see, what that is procrastination. We put it off. And we say, well, I'll do that. You know, I'll do that next week. But the owner may return today. Now, recently, one of our members shared, I guess it was just in Sunday school class or choir or somewhere, but he shared about the Kairos Prison Ministry, John. And I was going to ask him in choir today, but he spoke yesterday at a Kairos function in his horse. But I think he said they need 1,000 dozen cookies to give the men. I think that John, was that right? 1,000? Okay, he's giving me thumbs up back there. And I thought, 1,000? Dozens? And you got to say, well, will many or any of those prisoners up in Atmore, these prisons, come to Christ? Maybe some, maybe a few. But I picked up one of his brochures about the Kairos ministry. And this man is in prison there. And here's what he wrote. I was like a balloon with nothing inside. But these Kairos volunteers fed me with the word of God. And now I hunger after him. I will be forever grateful to Kairos for showing me that the way to freedom is through the cross of Christ. How about that? One anyway. If it took 1,000 dozen cookies to get this one man, it'd be worth it. But maybe you wouldn't be the one to go work with the Kairos ministry, but maybe you could bake, you know, 10 dozen cookies or something. John, you didn't know I was going to do that. That's free advertisement, brother. Thank you for your good ministry. Now, Paul has a similar experience. He was in Athens waiting on Silas and Timothy to get there. So he walked around town and he saw all these statues of different gods they had in Athens. And he even saw one statue to an unknown god. That was the name of it. So he went out there where all the Greek philosophers met on Mars Hill to let people have an open town hall meeting. And he shared about the one God. They didn't know who he was, but he shared about Jesus and the resurrection and that he's alive. And here's what the scripture says in Acts 17. Did all of them believe him? No. Here's what it says. Some mocked him. Others said, we'll hear you again on this. You know, that was Jim. I'll wait till, you know, I'll bring my egg carton sometimes. We'll hear you again on this matter. Now, this is what I love. Look what it said. Howbeit, certain men clave unto him and believed, and among them was Dionysius and a woman named Demarius and others with them. Ha! They're in scripture. Oh, Dionysus and Demarius, we don't know who they are, but they believed, and they were willing to step forward. Others are mocking Paul, making fun of him. Some believe. It's the little things. It's the guy who went out there and talked to all those philosophers and Greek Stoics. Not all of them, they said, they mocked him. You're a foolish man. Some believed. Now, about to get to a really good part because it got us last Sunday. they shared a video about the Samaritan's Purse Christmas Box Ministry and the effect it has on children around the world. And the video, he was sharing the testimony of a 9-year-old boy who got his first Christmas box, his first Christmas gift at 9 years. You know, we run over with Christmas gifts and stuff. He got his first one at 9. And then on the video, now as an adult, he was witnessing how that simple act impacted his life. And now he's a believer. A shoebox. In the old days, you'd bring your own shoebox. Before they got fancy, gave us these nice uniform size. But I want to just tell you, Kay's shoebox and my shoebox, so where do we start? How do we start today? I mean, the kingdom of heaven is. I mean, if we're going to respond to God's word, we have to repent of our past reluctance to be obedient. We call them sins of omission. We had that prompting, and we just passed it by, and we didn't do anything with it. But with our eyes on Jesus and allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts, our minds, and look and listen and see where our next action may be. Maybe just something little. Bringing in that garbage can. Or praying for someone. Ken asked us to pray for our leadership here. Praying for our Congress and, you know, our leadership. Praying for our world. Take a different country and just praying for them. I was listening on news about the 20 countries around the world that are going to be impacted by this oil embargo by Iran. And some of them only have a few weeks of oil on hand for their whole country. Some have 20 days in reserve. Some have 50. We have 100 days. If we never got another oil shipment, we got the reserve. We're not really impacted too much other than the price going up, but we can pray. Or it may be some physical activity God has laid on our hearts. Jesus has this wonderful teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. And if you take the word ask, A-S-K, it'll help you remember it. Ask, Jesus said, and it'll be given to you. Seek, and you'll find. Knock, and it'll be opened unto you. And he added this, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? So you can't go out of here and say, well, Jim, I'm one of them one talent men. God is saying, well, then ask me what you want me to do. Isn't that fair? If you're a 5-talent man, 10-talent, or 20-talent? The emphasis is not on a formula, but on our relationship with God and his Son, our Savior, and the Spirit. Just say, well, what would you have me to do? And then lastly, and I close with this, and in the meantime, we keep our lamps lit, waiting for his return. Amen and amen.